Good morning. Let's turn to Judges chapter 3. Judges 3, let's read from verse 9. Judges 3:9. And when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord, the Lord raised up a deliverer for the sons of Israel to deliver them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. When he went out to war, the Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, so that he prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. The sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered to himself the sons of Ammon and Amalek, and he went and defeated Israel, and they possessed the city of the palm trees. And the sons of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. But when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjaminite, a left-handed man. And the sons of Israel sent tribute by him to Eglon, the king of Moab, and he had made himself a sword, which had two edges, a cubit in length, and he bound it on his right thigh under his cloak. And he presented the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Eglon was a very fat man. And it came about when he had finished presenting the tribute that he sent away the people who had carried the tribute. But he himself turned back from the idols, which were Gilgal, and said, I have a secret message for you, O king. And he said, keep silence. And all who attended him left him. And he had came to him while he was sitting alone in the cool roof chamber. And he had said, I have a message from God for you. And he arose from his seat. And he had stretched out his left hand, took the sword from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. The handle also went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade. So he did not draw the sword out of the belly, and the refuse came out. Then he had went out to the vestibule and shut the doors of the roof chamber behind him and locked them. Amen. Also keep your finger on Genesis chapter 47, right, give an idea. And so now this is a time of the judges, okay? In the Old Testament, you know, the thing that you want to recognize is that, you know, we talked about it a few times at church. You know, in the Old Testament, the only people that were assured of the Holy Spirit, in other words, the presence of God in their life, were the kings, the judges, and the prophets, all right? So we see our first judge, Othniel, here, and he is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he operates, you know, by the Spirit. Because remember, you know, God always wanted to be the king, okay? You know, he wanted to be the ruler over Israel, but they cried out, and so, you know, God gives them a king. But before that, there were judges, you know, and these were kind of intermediaries between, you know, the Lord and the people. And so, you know, he was full of the Spirit of the Lord. Every time that they, you know, the people of Israel followed God, you know, listened to the judges and whatnot, they had peace. You know, in this part, you know, 40 years, they have peace. Well, the judge dies, and, you know, next thing you know, all havoc breaks out, you know, in the land, and they start sinning again. Now, it's interesting. God, he didn't necessarily, you know, the judges were not in sequential order, in essence, because God was the ruler, okay? And every once in a while, you know, he had to judge an intermediary to, you know, to stand along, you know, side of him in his rule. But you can recognize that the people put so much emphasis on the judge instead of God that when the judge dies, because God never died, right? The judge goes away, and then they start sinning again. And so, and they come and, you know, they did evil inside of the Lord, so the Lord gives them over into the hands of Eglon, the king of Moab. And then, right, so 18 years are in captivity, and then they start crying out to God. Do you see a pattern going on here, right? You know, God, you know, rules over his people. You know, peace is in the land because the Spirit of the Lord is on this person. But they continue on, and next thing you know, calamity happens because, you know, everything is not going well for them. And next thing you know, they cry out to the Lord, and then God rescues them. This would be a very frequent pattern that you'll see all throughout. And then he sends Ehud. And, you know, Ehud is just a footnote in the scriptures, right? But for some reason, I really like this guy. You know, I can't explain why. He really had one purpose in his life. You know, and his one purpose was to be left-handed, right? And so any lefties here? You know, I know you guys always get the short end of the straw. Are you a lefty, Will? Wow, okay. Any other lefties? You know, are you a lefty too? Wow, okay. And so, I always tell people that if I had a son, I would make him left-handed too, right? Because I want him to pitch for the Angels, you know, but that's another story. Okay, and so there's something, you know, in the scriptures, there's no reason for anyone to be left-handed back in these days. And in fact, it's looked upon very negatively, right? And, you know, and some of our cultures are like that, right? I know Chinese culture is very much like that. And so it continues on in Ehud. His name means he that praises or undivided, right? The easy translation is he's union, you know? And he delivers from Moab. So they cry out to the Lord. Ehud, God raises up Ehud, right? Again, remember, God's will or his plan is always to use a man, okay? You know, all throughout scriptures, right? God, when he wants to move an operation, you know, he always uses a man, okay? And so Ehud raises up. Ehud makes a sword, okay? And then he goes to see the king. And he seems very unthreatening. He comes and he takes a knife, right? And it's a double-edged knife, very, very sharp. He sticks it, you know, on his right thigh. And you'll see how this all happens. He sticks it in his right thigh and he goes to meet the king because the usual greeting of this kind of, a seriousness would require some kind of oath and some vow. And so generally what they would do, you know, and, you know, ladies, don't be grossed out, or I guess men, don't be grossed out even more. A typical vow, they would actually take their right hands, if they were greeting someone, you know, very close, you know, and they would take their right hand and actually put it under their dress or, you know, whatnot, and they would actually grab your testicles. You know, this is what we used to call a holy handshake, right? We don't do this anymore, you know. But they literally, and that's what happened. Ehud would come and he would grab under his loins and they would grab each other's testicles, you know. And what this represented was that I'm making a promise. There's a vow here, right? And this is like forever, right? I'll give you an idea. Turn to Genesis 47. I told you to put your hand there. Genesis 47, verse 29. And Joseph is making this vow. In Genesis 47:29, it says, when the time for Israel to die drew near, he called his son Joseph and said to him, please, if I have found favor in your sight, place now your hand under my thigh and deal with me in kindness and faithfulness. Please do not bury me in Egypt. Right? And then verse 31, right? And he said, swear to me. So he swore to him, and Israel bowed in worship at the head of the bed. And so he's coming to this place and saying, you know what? I want to be buried not here. I want to be buried in the homeland. And so he places his hand under his thigh. And what this represents, he grabs his testicles, right? And what this represented was that I trust you with my life and I trust you with my kids' lives. You know, and it's like it's generational, right? You know, for many of us, when we talk about oaths, you know, or vows or whatnot, it's, you know, like, when's the last time you broke a promise? You know what I mean? These guys took promises very, very seriously, right? You know, and when you promise something to someone, right? Like, for instance, I'll just throw this out there, okay? When you're in a dating relationship and you say to someone that you love them, right? That word has become so cheap in our culture, right? But love is everlasting, you know? And things, and so, you know, I was, personally for me, I was so convicted by that, you know, because, yeah, I unfortunately told a few girls that I had been dating that I love them, and I was so convicted that I actually prayed for my ex-girlfriends, you know, only a few, I prayed for them until they got married, you know, and I felt like when they got married, I'm off the hook, basically, right? My vow is done, because now they're under somebody else, you know, and I felt so... That's so bad, right? Because I gave a vow. And so the Jews, you know, if you give a promise or a vow, it's you're basically saying, I trust you with my life, and I trust you with my kids and their kids and their kids, right? You know, because, you know, you grab the testicles, that's it, right? This is your whole reproductive system at work, you know? And so they're grabbing. So Ehud comes, right? This is why I love Ehud, right? The guy's so sly. Ehud comes because he's right. He takes his right hand. It's always the right hand. He places it under. He keeps it there. And then when they're in close proximity, making a vow, right, an oath to one another, you know, and it's a safe place, right, for both, because now, you know, they've got their hand. This is it. And then Ehud takes his left hand, right, goes on his right thigh, right? He wouldn't put it on his left, goes on his right thigh, hidden, and he sticks his knife and he buries it into Eglon. You know the story, Eglon's so fat that the fat buries over it, right? And then, you know, so he basically dies, right? Well, what's the moral of this story? There's not much, you know, but we can draw some, you know. I don't know, I woke up this morning, and actually even from last night, I was thinking, what should I share? And I just kept hitting the Lord say, Ehud, Ehud, Ehud. And I'm sleeping. I was like, there's nothing in Ehud. It's just a nice story, right? But I have a few points, right? You know, number one, you know, be very careful of the vows that we make. You know, be very careful of the promises that we make to people, especially promises that we make to God. Have you ever found, like, you know, like you're kind of walking with the Lord and you said something to God like in passing, you know, like 10 years ago. And all of a sudden God would say, hey, do you remember when you said that to me the other day? You know, because to the Lord, that's like the other day, you know. For us, it's 10 years ago. We've forgotten about it, you know. But the Lord says, do you remember when you said that? You know, and he makes us own up to the promises, you know, that we've made to him. You know, he makes us own up to, you know, to the passing, you know, kind of whims of our affection in some way. Remember, he says, through the prophet, he says, every careless word that you speak will be judged. And interesting, huh? Every careless word that you speak, right, there'll be judgment for it and stuff. And so, you know, beware of the promises that you make, you know, the promises you made to the Lord, you know, the promises you make, you know, to one another, you know, especially within the body, right? You know, and don't ever, I mean, honestly, don't ever tell someone that you love them until you're able to do something about it. You guys understand what I mean, right? You know, be careful of the words that we use. You know, I remember I was kind of in the middle of, you know, dealing with this relationship, you know, and amongst at church, and they were both my students, you know, both, I mean, incredible, you know, people of God, and they had started dating, and, you know, they broke up after years, and it's kind of one of those relationships that you really, really want to see work, you know, you really want to see happen, you know, and sure enough, they broke up, and there was a lot of hurt, you know, mostly on the girl's side, you know, and, you know, I got in a conversation, we're talking, and basically what happened was this guy straight off in the beginning of the relationship just basically started saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, you know, kind of thing. And he didn't back it up, you know, with his life. And then I turned to her and I says, oh, I'm sure you said that to him sometime. You know, she goes, never, never have I uttered those words. I realized, wow, women are a lot different than guys are, you know. And but be careful, right, of the words that you say to one another, right? And especially if you're not able to back it up. Right, because love is always meant to last forever. It's everlasting, right, and stuff. And so, that's one. The other side is, you know, notice that God, he creates Ehud, you know, in such a way that, I mean, everything about Ehud, you know, comes to a moment of history, right? And I feel like God, in the same way that in our lives, right, that the unique characteristics of our personality, of our life, even as simple thing as being left or right-handed, is going to come to some point in time in history, you know, and there's going to be a blessing, and there's going to be a purpose in that, right? I mean, there's going to be something about it. I remember, you know, the time that I realized, you know, growing up, I was very, you know, my parents, you know, in the times, I guess, were counted, my parents, you know, they did pretty well. And so growing up in my room, and I think it was a huge mistake on my parents' part, But I basically lived in our bonus room. If you guys are familiar in the States, usually there's like one really big room in the house, you know, if you have a large house, and it's the bonus room, right? And in my bonus room, you know, I had a pool table and a bumper pool and a card table, and I had a huge TV and cable, and I had a refrigerator, right, and my bed and stuff. And yes, I was a bit spoiled, you know. And so, you know, so I grew up like this. And so we had cable TV like early on. I mean, early, you know, like when MTV first came out. And there were only three videos, you know, back then. If you guys remember, it was like Michael Jackson and Talking Heads, you know. They showed these three videos over and over and over again. But what I did do is I watched basketball, ESPN, constantly. That's when ESPN first came out. And I'd stay up until like 3 in the morning watching basketball, you know, and watching sports, you know. And you know, most of us, that would seem like, what a waste of time. Until I came to Hong Kong my first year in 1992. You know, and all the time that I was watching TV, you know, and all these different programs, you know, we're ministering at this basketball camp, and you know, back in those days at the camp, you used to sleep at the camp. You used to sleep with the kids. We actually slept in the classrooms at HKIS, and so you sleep in the classrooms on the floor with all these kids, and I could relate to everything these kids were talking about. You know, I mean, talking about like, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old kids, you know, and I was a junior in college, right? So it should have been much more mature and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. I could relate to everything these guys were talking about because I had spent all those countless hours watching TV, you know, and I realized, and I mean, and connect with them in a way that when I shared Christ with them, they listened to me. And I was having my quiet time one day, and it just dawned on me that, Lord, you're going to use every moment of my life. You know, not just the moments when I'm good, you know what I mean? Not just the moments when I'm having my quiet time or I go to church, but you're literally going to use every moment of my life, every experience of my life, every characteristic of my life, every tendency in my life for your glory someday. You know, you're going to redeem it. Isn't that what God does? He always redeems. He takes our experiences. He takes our failures. He takes, you know, and I thought, he even takes probably tens of thousands of hours that I've spent playing basketball and playing sports, and he used it for his glory, you know. And honestly, to me personally, a huge shift came into my mind. And I turned almost overnight into what I thought was unusable for the kingdom to be extremely valuable to the kingdom of God. You know, and you talk about doing something to your self-esteem, you know. And, you know, and I would be at church like some of you guys, and I would sit there and I thought, you know what? I can't speak like that guy. You know, in fact, I hate public speaking, you know. I think I shared with you before, you know, I took speech class in college. You know, and every time, you know, I mean, I was horrible at speech. You know, and every time I take speech class, I'd get this incredible pain in my stomach, and I would literally be hunched over for the whole day before and after my speech. You know, and then here I am doing this for a living every day, right? You know, and I couldn't stand it. I couldn't, you know, obviously I can't sing. You know, you guys know that very well. You know, I can't dance. I couldn't do any of these things that I thought were what everyone did, you know, at church. You know, but I could play basketball. And you know, back then you think, well, God, how can you use something as stupid as that, right? But he uses it very, very well. You know, and just like Ehud, he made him left-handed, and he used that, you know, just that unique characteristic of Ehud. I'm going to tell you guys, you know, in your life, God's going to use your failures. God's going to use your unique characteristics. You know, God's going to use your successes. You know, God's going to use your personality. God's going to use all kinds of different things about you. You know, he's going to use your life experience. It's going to come to a head at some point in your life, and he's going to use it for his glory, right? And it's going to be amazing. And then, for me personally, what happened was God began to instill purpose, you know, in those places where I felt like I was totally unusable, all right? So let's close our eyes. Thank the Lord for Ehud. You know, and I wonder if some of us here, if we think that maybe God can't use us, I just had a sneaky suspicion. Maybe even some people in our listening audience. If God can use something as mundane as being left-handed to deliver a whole people, don't you think God can use your unique personality? God can use your sense of humor, your different varying skills. And I've seen the Lord already use so many of you guys. Your creativity. All right, God's used Marsha's dancing ability. Obviously, there's gifts of music and all that different kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, God's going to use every part of who you are. Because when God made who you are, He didn't make a mistake. Even your personality. And some of you may be thinking that your personality is too rough or any of that kind of stuff. Trust me. No one's personality is as rough as mine, man. Right? And God uses it all the time. He's going to use you. God chose you because He knows you. And if He couldn't use you, He wouldn't choose you. As Pastor Nate leads us in a song of worship, let's just meditate on that and let's begin to thank God for the way that He's made us. Instead of keep cursing ourselves. Because I tell you, it's going to come to a head someday. You're going to see something beautiful happen as God is glorified in it.
Lift it for all our shame. How can it be the scars in your hands are for me? You are the King of all. How can it be you're the one? How can it be you were the one on the cross, lifted for all our shame? How can it be scars in your hands are for me? You are the King of all.
I love you, boy.
Let's pray. Let's pray for ourselves and let's pray for our church. And if there's anything in our lives, you know, that maybe, you know, low self-esteem or whatnot, or maybe you thought like I did, you know, back in the days, and you thought that I really was not usable for the kingdom. You know, let's pray for God esteem to come, and let's pray that God would begin to use us and then put purpose into our lives. Let's offer up our bodies and our minds and our will, our emotions to the Lord. And say, God, take all of me. Use all of me, God. Lord, my good points, my bad points, my successes, my failures, things in the past, things yet unseen, like the song says. Lord, all for your glory. And let's just begin to give ourselves to the Lord and say, God, just redeem in some way, Lord, for your glory. Let's pray together in that way. Let's pray for our house churches meeting this evening tonight. Let's pray for Conduit Road and for Pacific Place and for Kennedy Road. Let's ask God to bless our leaders and use them and empower them. And there'll be such a strong sense of community and love, and just the presence of God would come. Let's ask for just the grace of the Lord to move in each house church tonight. Let's pray. Let's pray for our retreat. Let's ask God to continue to speak with us, and that God would draw people's schedules open so they may be able to come. You know, that the Lord would just really have His way with us during this time. Let's pray for all our members to get their visas on time and that things would come in order. Let's continue to pray for our speaker, Dan. Let's pray that God will continue to put the words of the Lord in His heart for our community. Pray for all the logistics and the worship teams and the prayer teams, and that everything would just really come into order. There's still a lot of planning to do in terms of games and activities and all that kind of stuff. And let's just pray for all the people in charge of those different ministries, that they would just really be diligent and just really operate with such care and faith for this whole endeavor. And let's pray more than anything that we would meet with God. That's why we're going. We want to meet with God. You know, and so let's pray for just a holy time as we come before the Lord. Now let's pray for our retreat. Let's pray for our building search and our building fund, and let's pray that we would just continue to have a lot of grace to continue to fight for this and to seek God's face in this. And you know, our interim solution is still a possibility. Let's really cry out to the Lord for that, and also, you know, for our end goal as well. And pray for all the funds to come in, and that the Lord would just really bless those that give and really bring all the fruits into His storehouse. Let's just cover this whole process. Last, let's pray for China. Let's ask God to bless this incredible nation. And let's especially pray for our missionaries there. Pray for the Chung family as they start making plans for this next year. Praise God that their visa was renewed. And so, you know, what a blessing. And so let's continue to pray for their ministry. And I know Daniel is graduating from university soon. And let's pray for his future plans, that God would just meet with them in a powerful way. Let's pray for our Beijing house church and church plant. Let's pray that God would just continue to open the doors and give us favor. And we would really get the strategy of the Lord for this new plant that we're planning on. And pray for Chris and Amy, and for Pastor Sam, Kim, and Annie, you know, and hopefully others that will join alongside as well. For Mary, you know, let's just lift them up, lift this small team. Hopefully it grows into a big team, and just the favor of the Lord will be upon them as we make plans to invade Beijing with His love and His gospel. And so let's just cover, you know, and ask the Lord's favor, you know, in this, in that way. Let's pray for our kids in Chichihar, and I know Pastor Sam Kim is there right now, and let's pray for protection and grace over these kids. Let's just cover. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, when you created each one of us, God, you had a purpose for every part of us in mind. But when you created our personality, God, our intellect, Lord, our looks, God, our physical appearance, Lord, when you, Lord, put together all of who we are, God, our gifts, abilities, acquired traits, Lord, all those things, God, you had a purpose in mind. And as the people of God, Father, help us to find that purpose in you, Lord, and that to give you glory, God, in all that you've created in us, Lord. Lord, not that it's just about us, God, Lord, but it's about you receiving glory. And so lead us and teach us, Father God. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us this day. Lord, help us to serve your Son, Jesus, in a tangible way, God, Lord, through our lives. This day we pray. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today, and we'll see you tomorrow.